Welcome to the Daily Success Show. I'm your host, Jamila Payne, and I'm on a mission to help millions of women take control of their work life. So if you want to be more productive, increase your earnings, and have time for self-care, then you're in the right place.
Daily success, daily success, and the week ahead. Be excellent, make money moves, achieve your goals, transform your life, one routine at a time. Daily success, go and get yours, you better go get yours.
Welcome back to the show. So excited that you're here with me today. And we're talking about a 7-step plan to quit your 9-to-5. This particular episode was inspired by some of our Achiever Club members. So right now we have a few Achiever Club members that are making a plan or in progress of leaving their 9-to-5 for a plethora of reasons. And it really just got me thinking about my own career and when I went through the process of leaving the 9-to-5 to delve into entrepreneurship on a full-time basis. Now, I'll say this, for me, I knew all my life, and this might be true for you, that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I got started in business very young. At just 10 years old, I had my first business, which was cleaning up hair at a local hair salon and then doing some landscaping outside of the hair salon. And then that progressed to, by the time I was in high school, I had a full-time business, not a full-time business, but I had a business that was making $500 a week selling beaded jewelry. And that business rapidly expanded. And then I knew by the time that I graduated college that entrepreneurship was for me. I was like, this thing is everything. Like, I'm learning so much. I'm growing so much. I'm connecting with so many people. And I knew it was what I wanted to do. However, you know, my dad in particular was like, girlfriend, you need to get a job and get out my pockets. So I did that. I went and got a job, but I knew it was in my heart, like it was in me to be an entrepreneur. So some Achiever members have definitely inspired today's episode. I believe that everything that I'm going to talk about will also benefit you no matter where you are in your journey. Like if you're at the place of feeling like you're tired of the idea of running your 9-to-5 along with running your business and every other aspect of your life, or if you're at the place where you are building your business, but you're not seeing the traction that you want yet, then this episode is going to really have a big impact on you. And it might be a perfect episode to share with somebody that you love, that you know has that entrepreneurial dream inside of them, but really hasn't taken action yet in a meaningful way. So I also encourage you to share it with them as well. Now, for me, I really think that there's a big difference between being launched into business versus deciding that you want to be a business owner. And let me quickly explain what I mean. Being launched into business is when something happens in your life. You are let go from a job, or you are laid off from a job, or whatever happens with your 9-to-5, and you may or may not have been running a business on the side, but now you feel like this is your opportunity to go ahead and start the business and or grow the business that you have been working on. For me, in my career, I was working with this fashion retail company, like a really big fashion retailer. And most of my career right after college was in fashion retail. So my position was actually as an assistant buyer for the company. And I was learning a lot from the head buyer. I mean, she was really grooming me and mentoring me and helping me to come along and like be the best buyer that I could be. However, she got this big opportunity to go and work for Target companies, and she left, and then I was kind of on my own. So it was me and another assistant buyer that was completely running the department. And our department was career separates. So we bought in career separates and also did product development for career separates for the company, which were sold in all of their retail stores nationally and also online. Well, fast forward several months after the buyer left, there were some snafus, let's say, that happened in the department that really were not related to me and the other assistant buyer. But there was a general merchandising manager of that department who made those decisions. Long story short, the decisions that she made didn't work out. And so somebody had to take the hit. In terms of when you're communicating to the CEO, here's the mistakes that were made in this department that I'm responsible for. Somebody's head needs to roll. Well, guess what? I was the selected head to roll. I had already been building my business on the side. So while I was working at that retailer, I was in a program, in a big business incubation program where I had an office. And so I would leave work at 6 o'clock and go to my office and work on my business. And I was doing every single thing that I could to be able to push my business forward. Now, I don't know if this is true for you, but it is absolutely true for me that in my life, I have learned that when I don't make a move, like when I know that my heart, my mind, my body, like everything in me is telling me that I should be starting or growing my business and I'm not doing that, God pushes me off the cliff. Like, girl, I told you already that you're supposed to be doing this business and you're not doing it. So I'm going to push you off the cliff and you're going to be forced to do it. And that's what happened in this case when I was let go from my position at this fashion retailer. And so I went on to do the work to be able to grow my business. Now, that might not be the case for you. Maybe you're in a situation where you get to plan your exit. You're planning your exit for the company, in which case there will be a couple of things that I would highly recommend that you do. So let me walk you through those. When in my career, I have been in the scenario of planning to leave a company to focus on my business, I have saved at least 6 months of living expenses. So at that time, I was living in an apartment. And so I had my rent. My rent was like super low. It was so low. Let me think. I think my rent was about $500 a month. The rent that it would cost me to live in my apartment, I put it aside, 6 months worth of it. I also put aside 6 months worth of my other bills. I did have a general savings emergency fund. And let me tell you why this is important. If you have the luxury of planning to make an exit from a company to focus on your business full time, it is extremely difficult to be in the creative space of figuring out how do you find and connect with the right customers? How do you think creatively about growing the business and getting to the next milestone if you have what I like to call the monkey on your back? And the monkey on your back is bill collectors calling you up, asking for their money. You're late and behind on payments. It is super challenging to be able to think creatively about your business if you are in stress financially. So I highly recommend being able, if you are in the luxury position of planning to leave a 9-to-5, I highly recommend that you plan to save several months of expenses. Now, when I was in that scenario, I had my cash saved up. And so when I was planning to leave my 9-to-5, I took the business as far as I could on my own cash. Then I got a small business grant that allowed me to move forward. And that was like critical to my success. All right. So the first thing that I want you to understand is just getting clear on where you are in the process. Are you in a scenario where you are by circumstance, whatever happened, you are thinking, hey, this because I have been let go, because my department is being downsized, because my role is ending in this company, because my company has been acquired, you're making the decision like, hey, I'm going to leverage this opportunity to start a business, then that is one place to be in. But if you're in another position where you have that luxury of planning to leave your 9-to-5, then I highly suggest that you, number one, save 6 months of expenses, but also take the business as far as you can go on your own cash. All right. So it's so important that we identify which one of those two places that you're in. All right. Once you're clear about where you are, then these are the 7 steps. The 7-step plan that I would recommend that you leverage in order to quit or leave your 9-to-5. Or, like I said, if you are leaving your 9-to-5, not by choice, but by circumstance, then this is still the same exact 7 steps that I would recommend in order for you to get that business going and be able to replace your full-time salary. So step one is don't take the leap, build a bridge. And here's what I mean by that. I remember in my career where after I left my position at that fashion retailer, I did everything that I could to move the business forward. So let's say I spent a few weeks doing that, but then I also sought out other employment. Now, this was employment, not necessarily what I would call career employment for me, because I didn't see myself in a full-time career in this area, but I knew that I could still make some decent money. I got a job as a night auditor at a hotel. It was a full-time position where I worked from 11 at night till 7 in the morning in that role, which allowed me to make an income to be able to pay my bills, to not have the monkey on my back, so that I could do what I needed to do as a responsible adult while I built my business. In that role, I was, like I said, working 11 at night till 7 in the morning. I would go home. I would sleep for 2 or 3 hours. Then I would go to my office where I was in the business incubation program. I'd work all day, finish up around 5 or 6, go home, cook dinner, sleep for 2 hours. And then by 11 o'clock, I was at my night audit job. Now, I don't want to glorify this in any way. It was tough. It was a grueling experience. It took a lot of grit for me to be able to get through this, but I had this bigger purpose and bigger vision at mind. It got so tough that sometimes I would be on dates, okay? Like, guys would invite me out for dates and I'd be sitting in a restaurant with them, having a conversation and nodding off. I know, embarrassing, right? Nodding off. It would not be prompted at all. Like, I was suffering from sleep deprivation. We could be having a conversation, everything would be going great, and then before you know it, I would just nod off in the middle of the conversation. It even got to the point where on my break time, so we had these like 30-minute breaks at work. During my break time, I would go into the bathroom, and the bathrooms in the employee area, they didn't have seat covers. Think about your home toilet, right? If you want, you have like a seat that you sit on the toilet, and then you have a seat cover, which you can like put down the lid over top of the seat cover. Well, in our employee lounge in the bathrooms, there were no seat covers to sit on. So I would go in the bathroom in the stall, stand up, rest my chin on my chest, and take a nap standing up. And I could sleep for 10, 15, 20 minutes sometimes standing up. And then when my break was over, I'd go back to work. I mean, I slept standing up because there were no seat covers. There was no place for me to sit down, and I didn't want to get in trouble for sleeping on the job. I literally stood up in the stall. Okay, so I'm not saying that you should do any of this craziness, but what I'm saying to you is that I want you to recognize that in some cases, you just have to do what it takes so that you're not taking a leap, you're building a bridge. For me, I wasn't like, yes, I'm going to take the leap and start my business, figure out my bills later. What I've learned about myself is that I don't thrive. You know, some people are motivated by, I don't know what to call it, but let's say like disaster. Some people are motivated by financial stress of like, oh my goodness, I need to earn $300 in a week and I'm going to just like figure figure out how to do that. Some people are motivated by financial stress. I'm not one of those people. And so for me, it was important to be able to have this real opportunity and place of working at the hotel, which allowed me to earn what I needed to earn to cover my living expenses while I built my business on the side. Now, when I finally left that role was one day I was at the front desk, as we often were in the morning. As a night auditor, we come up to the front desk, you know, we're running reports for everything that happened throughout the night. I might even be checking in some guests in the hotel that were coming in that morning or people who were leaving and checking out. Well, every single morning there would be a person who delivered the papers every day. So think about like whatever your local papers are or your national papers. So there would be a person who would drop off the Metro newspaper, the New York Times, and like the Wall Street Journal. In the Metro newspaper, me and my business was on the front page of the paper that landed on the front desk. So all of my colleagues were like, what the heck are you doing on the front page of the paper? But it was because my business was being featured. And at that moment, I was like, okay, Jamila, you know, it's time to leave this role. You have earned enough in this business. This business is taking off. You're getting local publicity. It's okay to like hand in your notice. And that's exactly what I did. I share that story with you because I really feel that it's important that if you have the opportunity to not just jump into your business, then I really recommend that you don't take the leap, that you build a bridge. And what I mean by that is like that bridge is the ability to like walk across. Like, so imagine a bridge where on one side is you're working a 9-to-5 and running your business on the side. And on the other side is where your business is your full-time income. It's so much better to be able to walk across that bridge with ease and feel like, okay, yes, my 9-to-5 was providing for me and I've been able to invest part of my salary into my business. And now my business has the first client and now it has the fifth client and now it has the 10th client. And you're just walking across the bridge and walking across the bridge and walking across the bridge until you get to the other side. Taking the leap is when you're on the side that says I'm running my 9-to-5 and planning to start a business, or I already have a business, but the business isn't making what I needed to make, but there's something in me that keeps saying the reason why it's not making what it needs to make is because I'm not able to devote enough time to it. And so if I just leave my 9-to-5, then I'll be able to earn what the business needs to earn. And then I can just take the leap and jump off the cliff. So there's no bridge. You just jump off the cliff and hope that you grow your wings on the way down. I really believe that the idea that having more time in and of itself, because you're not going to work and you can 100% run the business, is like false. I don't believe that just multiplying your time alone is going to allow the business to become successful, because you can do the things that are necessary to get traction in the business on very little time. And so if you do not have traction in the business, don't tell yourself that just quitting your job is going to allow you to get that traction, because it's not, because there's so many other things that come into play when you leave your job. Like, you then have to figure out how do you be your own boss and tell yourself what to do when there's no one else telling you what to do. Like, there's just so many other things that come into play. Okay, so let's not fall into that trap. All right, so that's number one. Don't take the leap, build a bridge. Now, these other lessons that I'm going to share with you, 2 through 7, are things that I specifically did when I had the experience of replacing a 6-figure salary in 6 months. So there was a time where it wasn't my decision. And that's happened more than once in my life. Like, a company has downsized or eliminated roles, and I went back to running my business as the thing that I did. So these are the steps that I would take and that I have taken in order to replace a 6-figure salary in 6 months. Now, that may or may not happen for you, depending on where you are in your journey and how clear you are on the work that you want to create in the world, but this has absolutely worked for me. And I know that it can work for you if you follow it. All right. So step number two is to interview 3 to 5 of your potential clients. You need to get super clear on who are the people that you want to serve or that you are uniquely qualified to serve. And then you want to set up phone interviews with them. I don't recommend doing this in person. I think it's really important to do it on the phone over a recorded line or on some kind of video software like Zoom as an example. The reason for this is you can capture their words, their phrases, everything that they're saying so that you can later use that information in your marketing and how you're describing what you offer. Conduct 3 to 5 interviews for your potential clients is step two. Step three is that you want to take the information that you gather. So after you do those interviews, you can transcribe them. I like a service called Temi, which is T-E-M-I. Temi is a transcription service which allows you to translate the entire conversation that you had in that interview into text. And I think they charge 10 cents per something. I can't remember what the quantity is, but let's say it's like 10 cents a minute is what they charge. Super reasonable price to be able to transcribe everything. Once you have the transcription, you can go back, review the information, and circle the things that several of the people that you interviewed said in terms of their pain points, their desires, what they believe their challenges are, and then use all of that information to figure out how you can help them. Okay, step three is really about utilizing all of that to create 2 options to work together. And when I say 2, I mean no more than 2. So if you only have 1 option, that's great. So let's just say that you're a graphic designer who offers brand packages at X amount of dollars, and that's your only offer. That's totally fine. Or maybe you are a text preparer and you decide that the main 2 ways that you help people is you help them once a year to do end of year text preparation. That's 1 package. Or you have a different package where people can work with you on a quarterly basis and you help them to plan their tax strategy every quarter, pay their quarterly taxes, think about their financials of the business, etc. Okay, so you get where I'm going. No more than 2 offers. This is tough for a lot of business owners because by nature, you have entrepreneurial ADD where there's just a lot of ideas and a lot of things you want to create, but you're thinking about your business as you see it in the future when it's further along. So maybe you want to host in-person workshops for your tax clients and you want to do tax coaching and all the things, right? Don't try to start where you see yourself ending up. Like, just start where you start. So that's number 3, create no more than 2 offers on how to work together. Okay, number 4 is that you want to figure out your sustainability number. And this is a daily success practice. Your sustainability number is the amount that your business needs to earn to both pay you a salary and cover your expenses. Now, this is a common mistake that I see with business owners where they're operating as a self-employed person and they feel like everything that the business earns is their salary. So let's just say that you're that tax preparer and you are bringing in $300 for doing someone's taxes and then you pay yourself $300. Well, if you're doing that, then what's left over for the business? How does the business sustain itself? How do you be able to reinvest in things that will allow the business to grow? Well, also, what about your monthly expenses? Maybe you need to have a monthly subscription to QuickBooks so that you can do your clients' taxes, right? How do you pay for those things? How do you account for those overhead expenses if you're paying yourself every single thing the business owns? This is where the sustainability number comes in, and there is a formula for it, so I want you to write this down. The formula is your desired salary, and this is just the number you pick. So that could be $50,000 a year, $75,000 a year, $125,000 a year? There's no wrong answer. It's your desired salary. If you're not sure what your desired salary would be, then I would recommend starting with what you need to replace your last 9-to-5 salary. It's desired salary plus your business expenses. Now, these are all of the monthly expenses that your business has. Your website hosting, financial software. Maybe you're subscribed to a couple of other different softwares. Maybe you're using software to do your posting to social media. Maybe you also are invested in some educational training programs, right? All of these things would make up your business expenses. That desired salary plus your business expenses equals your sustainability number. That's the amount that your business needs to earn in order to pay you a salary plus cover the expenses. Now, I want to say that the biggest thing around all of this is your mindset. Oh my goodness. Your mindset is critical. And just number one, like just believing in yourself and knowing that you can do this, like this opportunity has been created for a reason. And so you really just have to trust in yourself, trust in purpose that your life was created for, but also you have to take action on getting transformation in your life. And when I'm talking about transformation, I'm talking about the smallest transformations will help build to create big transformations. If you wanna learn more about how to better impact your mindset and to get transformations in your life, then I recommend that you check out episode 13 of the Daily Success Show, where I talk about quarterly goal planning that will really help you to be able to shift your mindset. Today's episode of the Daily Success Show is brought to you by my free masterclass. Managing work along with running a business and raising little people can be a lot for any woman. It's completely normal that you feel overwhelmed. To accomplish the bigger dreams that you have for yourself means learning a different approach to managing the work week that doesn't leave you stressed and feeling like you didn't properly manage your time or get enough done. To learn how to get control of your life, join my free masterclass. Make more money and have more time. Create your powerful work routine without stressing, wasting time, and feeling all over the place. Just go to dailysuccess.co/worksmarter to RSVP today. That's dailysuccess.co/worksmarter. All right, number 5 is to price your offers. So remember, in step 3, we came up with 2 options to work together. In step 5 here, you're going to price your offers based on the value that you're creating for your clients. When I say value, I mean results. So what is the result of them working with you? What value is created in their life or their business by working with you? Plus, taking into account what the business needs to earn from the calculation you did in terms of your sustainability number. All right. Once you're clear on your sustainability number, let's just say, for example, if you figured out your business needs to earn $80,000 in revenue for the year in order to pay you a $40,000 salary plus cover expenses, then you need to look at what you're offering and say, how can I price this in a way that both creates value for the clients and allows you to meet your sustainability number? Now, if you have a higher salary that you're aiming for, maybe you want to earn $70,000 or $80,000 or $90,000 or $125,000 a year, then you need to be able to price your offers so that your business is making way over that, right? Covering those expenses plus paying you, so that you can get your desired salary. All right, number 6 is to set up a simple marketing system. And we talk about a simple marketing system in, I believe it's episode 2 of the Daily Success Show, which features Jada Selner. But you need a simple marketing system to reach your clients. Now, I'm going to say in the most fundamental, basic form, a simple marketing system needs to include how you find your clients and then how you make offers to them. So let's just say, as an example, if I am, let's go back to that tax preparation example that I used earlier. If I am a tax preparer and I host a monthly workshop for business owners that tells them the top things that they need to do to prepare their quarterly taxes, and that's a in-person workshop that people are invited to, and when they show up, you give the presentation, and then at the end of the presentation, you make the offer to work together and say, hey, I am the tax preparer that can help you, and I will personally walk you through how to do your quarterly taxes in a way that you're paying what you need to pay, but you're not overpaying, then people can then make the decision whether or not they want to work with you. Now, that same kind of workshop, you can decide, hey, I don't want to do this in person. I'm going to do it online so that I can reach people all over, right? So that's an example of a simple marketing system. So you know exactly how you're going to connect with your ideal buyers, those people that fit the profile of the people that you interviewed, and how you're going to make them an offer. All right, step 7 is that you're going to complete steps 1 through 6 until you hit your numbers, and then you're going to tweak the process on what you learn. Okay, so let's just say that what you learn is that people are doing a really great job of attending your in-person information session on the top 10 things you need to do in order to prepare your quarterly taxes workshop. However, when you make the pitch to work with you, that isn't working, right? So a lot of people aren't taking you up on that offer. Well, step 7 is really all about tweaking that. Okay, so how can you improve your pitch? Maybe you're not saying the right things. Maybe you need to move it around a little bit. Maybe you need to add some client testimonials, right? So you're just kind of playing around in step 7. It's what I call the experimental step, doing the tweaks that are necessary until you get everything else working. Now, it's really important that we talk about in this 7-step process what you are not doing, okay? And thinking about leaving your 9-to-5 or focusing 100% on your business after your 9-to-5, here's what you're not doing. You are not setting up a website unless your business is an e-commerce business, meaning you are selling merchandise through a website. Like maybe you make jewelry and you're selling it online, or maybe you are buying clothes at a wholesale cost and you're selling them online. In those cases, okay, maybe, I'm not even saying absolutely, but maybe having a website would be helpful. But if your business is not 100% contingent upon people buying things off of your website, I do not recommend that you waste time setting up a website at this stage in the game. You're also not creating any business cards. Nobody's gonna make the decision as to whether or not that they work with you based on your business card. In fact, what they might do is make a decision on not to work with you based on your business card if it's not super pro. So if you're not starting off or growing this venture with some cash in the bank, then I still believe that there's a place for business cards, even though we're in a very digital age. I still believe that there's a place for business cards, but it absolutely should not be the first thing that you're doing. I will be the first to admit that there are a number of businesses that I have made cards for that the business never got any further than an idea in my head. I do not want you to waste time on making up business cards. I want you to spend your time, your valuable time, doing the 7 steps that we just talked about. The other thing that you're not doing is posting on social media. Again, unless your business is 100% linked to the opportunity to connect with your buyers and make sales directly through Instagram, as an example, where people are clicking on a shop within Instagram link, right, to buy things from you, then you don't need to spend a significant amount of your time posting on social media. That was not anything that I did to grow my business in 6 months and replace my 6-figure salary, and it's not anything that you need to do either. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't businesses who are making sales through social media, absolutely, But if that is not core to your business model, then I would not focus on posting just for the sake of growing an audience at this stage. Let's double down on getting to your sustainability number first. The other thing that you're not doing is signing up for a bunch of different training programs. Now, that's different from execution programs. So I look at something like the Daily Success Achievers Club as an execution program because people aren't just like learning a skill around something they could do in their business, and now they have the information and they need to go figure it out. But people are actually executing on their businesses. You want to be careful of being in a space of thinking about how can you get all of this additional industry training. So let's just say that you're an event planner. So you might be saying, oh, well, I'm going to take this training that's on event planning, and I'm going to do this other training that's around this type of event planning. And I'm going to do another training around this type of event planning. And then before you know it, you have all of this information about different types of event planning and how those niches of event planners make money, but you still haven't implemented anything in your own business, right? So it's so critical that you join programs that focus on execution and not just on training, which is ultimately just providing you a bunch more information. And then finally, I want to say that it's important to be scrappy. It's super important to be scrappy. So you are just getting things done. This is not about having everything be perfect. It's really about being in a place of taking action. Done is better than perfect. And you might have heard that quote before, but it's absolutely so true. I have definitely been in my own life and business a person who has had a perspective of perfectionism, where I am trying to make sure that something is 100% great before I release it out into the world. And you could go on trying to make things perfect forever. Trust me, there is no perfect. It's more important to be able to get it done than it is to make it perfect. Okay, so that is your 7-step process for how to make the transition from your 9-to-5 into your business. So let's quickly review. Number 1, don't take the leap, build a bridge. Number 2, interview potential clients 3-to-5 over the phone where you can record the conversation. Number 3 is to create offers no more than 2. These are your options for how you're going to work together with your potential clients, resolving their pains, providing solutions for them. Step number 4 is to put together your sustainability number, the amount that your business needs to earn to both pay you a salary and cover your business expenses. Step 5 is to price your offers based on the value that you're creating for your clients, plus what it will take to meet your sustainability number. Step number 6 is to develop a simple marketing system, which includes how you're going to find your clients and how you're going to make offers to them. And then step number 7 is to tweak the process based on what you learn and repeat. All right, is action taking time? So I want you to develop your sustainability number. This is a perfect take action from today's episode because it doesn't matter where you are in your business journey. If you are making that transition or looking to make the transition from your 9-to-5 into your full-time business or into your business on a full-time basis, then you absolutely need to know what your business needs to earn to pay you a salary. Or if you're already in your business on a full-time basis and you are not paying yourself a salary yet on a consistent basis, this is going to help you to figure out where you need to be in terms of your business revenues as a baseline number so that you can absolutely start paying yourself a full-time salary. So you can find an action guide on how to calculate your sustainability number when you go to the show notes for today's episode at shows.dailysuccessroutine.com. That's shows.dailysuccessroutine.com, grab the show notes, and then you will be able to utilize the entire guide that we put together for you on how to create your sustainability number.
Hey, we don't have to wait until the next episode to hang out. So the next time you're on Instagram, YouTube, or Facebook, type Jamila Payne or Daily Success Routine into the search bar, and you'll find more great tips, inspiration, and ideas to help you get organized, productive, and live your dream life. Daily success, and the week ahead, be excellent, make money moves, achieve your goals, transform your life, one routine at a time. Daily success, go and get yours. You better go get yours. Daily success. You better go get yours. Daily success.